Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Now, we all love the shiny before and after moments, but what about the bit in between? You know, that uncomfortable, uncertain space where the real work actually happens. Transformation isn't just about the finish line. It's about who you become on the way there. And who better to talk us through this than life coach Tara Rafter. Tara, you're very welcome.
Thanks a million. It's lovely to be back.
It's great to have you. And every time we have you on, I get so many messages, so many emails, so many views on your video. Like, people love everything about you and what you have to say.
That's so
thank
kind.
You.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
This is not something we hear a lot about, is it? The messy middle. We only want to hear about, I was doing it wrong, then I started doing it right, and now everything's amazing. And that's not really how it goes down.
Not at all. And social media has us destroyed because it's the before and after. And nobody sees the chaos in the middle. It's like Big Brother, we get the best bits. And then everyone is like, oh, it looks really simple. And then we begin to try, and then we think we're doing it wrong, or we're not good enough, or we're total failures because we can't seem to bounce back as quick as we see everyone else do it. So yeah, the messy middle is something that we need to talk about a little bit more. I even think the name of it throws people, the fact that we call it messy. It is messy, but if we can change our relationship with it, I think it's going to change the way we view it.
So what's your definition of it, whatever we're going to call it, be it messy or whatever?
Yeah, there's huge opportunities for growth. And I think if you can view it through the lens of opportunity and compassion and excitement almost for the fact that this is your evolution, as opposed to this arduous, messy task that we have to try to get through, it will change the way that your brain perceives it, and it will change your relationship with it. And when I was thinking about it, even before coming into chat to you and the people that I work with, I thought it would be really helpful to kind of nearly frame it with three headings. So I was thinking about how we can view it as integration, looking at it from the perspective of safety, which is, that's where everything starts and ends. Like, I see it with every client that I work with. And then the golden nuggets that I see people, you know, nearly shocked that they've received along the way as part of the journey. So I think it's helpful to think about it through those three lenses.
Before we get into those, can I not just say, are we not constantly in the messy middle? Like, that's something I always feel as somebody now who begins to talk in the wellness space. Yeah. I never want to appear like I've reached this destination point of utopia and I'm here now to tell everybody how I'm doing it, because that's not how life works. We're constantly evolving and changing, and everything around us is constantly evolving and changing. So there never really is the after point, is there?
No, because humans will reach whatever the, you know, air quotes, the goalpost is, and then we move it. That's how we're still here. That's evolution. You know, that's how we maximize and stretch our potential. So the messy middle is life. That's what it is. Like, that's what we're doing every day, irrelevant of where we stretch outside the comfort zone or come back into it. That growth bit is just inevitable.
Well, let's talk about the lenses then, because they're the three things that if we have those in order, we'll feel a bit more in control as we move through life. So what about integration then?
When we begin to view it as integration, it changes things. So if you remember, you know, we would have chatted about it previously when I was here having the tea. I feel like we're friends now. But we would have said that the brain has that one job of keeping you alive. And we would have said the brain learns by repetition. And in order for change to occur in those neurological pathways, that integration piece has to happen. And so often what people don't realise is integration is messy. Integration is uncomfortable. Integration is something that takes time. And it literally is a movement from one way of being to another way of being. And if we view it through the lens of integration, it changes how we show up in it. We have different expectations of ourselves when we say that we're integrating or we're in a phase of change, as opposed to the messy middle and I'm not there yet and I'm not good enough and how am I ever going to do this? And so that integration piece, to have a level of understanding and empathy for the amount of work that's happening underneath the surface. When you and I spoke previously, like, we talked about the fact that humans run off series of patterns. We get out the same side of the bed every morning. We make the same cup of tea in the same cup, worrying about the same things we worried about yesterday. Humans are having 6,000 thoughts a day and 90% of them are repeated. If you think about integration, we have to go in and interrupt all of those thought patterns. That's a huge process for the brain to undergo. And the fact that it's in there with one job of keep you alive, it installs those patterns to keep us safe. So the integration piece is an enormous mechanism that has to happen in order to facilitate change.
And I think it's important that we recognize that it's going to feel harder before it feels better, while all that recalibration is going on. I mean, if you start to get out of the other side of the bed, it feels funny. It feels weird. Like, I think I remember you saying brushing your teeth with
the other hand.
It feels weird. But then cut to 3 weeks later, you're just picking it up with the left hand.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, that's not going to majorly improve your life, but it's the same kind of analogy.
Yeah.
Getting up half an hour earlier so you can walk the block and have that be the start of your day, or light a candle and sit quietly with your cup of tea. Mm. That's going to feel tough if you're used to just hitting snooze. Yeah. But then after a while, you'll realise, geez, I didn't get up this morning and sit, and I don't feel as good as I normally do. There is a moment where it kind of clicks and you go, wow, this is who I am now.
Yeah, and that's the exact process of integration. And when we view it through a compassionate lens as opposed to resistance, you know, oh my God, I don't want to do this, this is so hard. If we can frame integration with compassion, so again, we're layering on all of these lovely support mechanisms to help us through the journey, integration will actually feel a small bit magical almost, because you'll begin to see almost through the lens of wonder your capacity to change. It's fantastic. Humans have blown me away in this work over the last 8 years in terms of what they're capable of. And it's kind of like the first time you drive a car. You know, you sit in, you're afraid of your life, the car's going to drive off down the road. And one day you arrive somewhere and you've had the tunes on and you have no idea how you got there. That's integration.
Yeah.
Where the system has upgraded to a point where it becomes effortless, and, you know, the unconscious becomes, or the conscious becomes unconscious, and we're doing it without even realizing that we're doing it.
So how do you know which ones to keep and stick with and which ones aren't for you? I mean, there's been times where I've said, that's it, I'm going to wake up and pound the pavements. And, you know, I've replaced that with sitting with my cup of tea.
Yeah.
How do you know? No, you push through until running becomes who you are. How do you know which one is for you and which one isn't?
Yeah. And I think we would have spoken about it in April. We kind of talked about your why. So we said, what is the reason that you're doing what you're doing? If you're trying to copy Mary down the road, or it's a fad on Instagram, you know, the best of luck, like, it's not going to stick. It has to be aligned with what your values are, what your belief systems are, what will honour and nourish and nurture the life that you have in the exact chapter and season that you're in. Like, what nourished and nurtured me and what my values were in my 20s, it's very different in my 40s now. So you can power through to a point, but I think your starting point needs to be very clear. You need to know why you're doing it, and there has to be a very clear motive attached to the why.
Yeah, that's a really, really good advice. Right, the second one was recognising that growth can feel unsafe.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so funny when I sit with people, like in the coaching space, we look at current state to desired state. It's kind of like magic wand stuff. And we look at what's blocking you in the middle. If you think about the brain's one job of keep you alive, and I often refer to it as the Terminator in there trying to guard you and keep you safe, change to the brain is viewed as uncertainty. So the brain will rinse and repeat what we've done the previous day. It doesn't care whether you're happy or sad. It doesn't know if it's good for you or bad for you. It doesn't know if it's right or wrong. It will rinse and repeat what you did the previous day. So when a human tries to instigate change or introduce change to the Terminator, that is threat. The patterns, whether they serve you, whether they don't, have kept you, air quotes, safe. The brain doesn't have any concept of time or space. I've seen it with people. They can do stuff day in, day out that long term, when we look at the effects of it, will have a serious impact on their physical, psychological, emotional well-being. But the fact that they did it yesterday and they're still here today, the brain goes, meh, rinse and repeat. So when we understand that change can be very scary, you hold yourself different in it. Like, there's a different energy and association to that integration piece when we understand that actually I might feel fear, I might feel resistance, I might hold myself back, I might procrastinate, I might talk myself out of it. You know, I've seen people try to study for the Leaving Cert. They'd rather clean the bathroom with a toothbrush, like they don't want to do it. All because this new way of being, this new thing to do, the brain can perceive it as unsafe. And if we go a level deeper and we look, for example, at somebody's belief systems, so often people have beliefs that are buried in the unconscious. And it could be that they're not good enough to achieve that, or that failure equals potential rejection from the tribe. Or there can be so many things that show up for people when I start asking questions about it. So to understand that relationship between change and safety and to ask yourself, what language can I frame it in so that it sounds safe? You know, how am I presenting this to the mind? Remember, the words you say to yourself are the most important words you'll ever hear in your life. The brain will just listen to the words and it will give you pictures and associations off the back of it. So how am I framing it? And how can I make it feel more safe? So chat to yourself. Talk to that internal system that's running the show. And if I do this, here are all the really good things that will happen in my life off the back of it. And once the system feels safe, it's much more likely to begin to engage. You're going to have to reinforce safety. You're going to have to keep showing it. Look, I did this today and everything is still okay. You can layer it with things like breath work. I was telling you before we came on, I was outside doing your vagus nerve breathing. It was brilliant off your Instagram. There are things that you can do, mechanisms that we can attach and apply that will enhance that safety. Again, changes our relationship with the change. So that messy middle now suddenly doesn't feel so messy.
And it's funny, isn't it? I'm really fascinated by this. You know, the way you say, careful what you wish for. Sometimes when you plan out all these things on your vision board or in your mind, when they start coming in, there's something sort of scary about that. And it really feeds into to what you're saying. I always love that Marianne Williamson quote, that we're not afraid that we're not enough. We're actually afraid that we're powerful beyond measure. And sometimes I feel that, you know, like a lot of work things or personal things start coming in. You almost feel like you're about to do a bungee jump and you're like, I know this is exciting, but actually I'm terrified.
And you know, too, when you talk to people, and I've had this conversation with so many people down through the years, so many people are very scared of success. Very, very scared of success. And it will be hardwired into their subconscious from conditioning when they were small. And it could be something as simple as tribal stuff. So we sat around the table and we looked at the people that had notions or were too big for their boots or who do they think they are? And that can be perceived as successful. And then we get within inches of it and some part of the wiring goes, oh my God, what if they don't like us? What if all these people that conditioned us and minded us when we were small, what if they suddenly don't like us? What if we're too much for them? Which for the mind can equal rejection from the tribe. So yeah, success can be terrifying.
And I think we need to reframe what success is. I think even when I think of the word success, you're thinking of a big business person who works around the clock.
Yeah.
Whereas now we're talking more about that work-life balance, and you never have everything all in the one spot. But I listened to a podcast with somebody I know you've worked with,
yeah,
because she spoke about you. I'm not going to name her here, but she runs a hugely successful business. It was clear by the way she talked that she'd done a huge amount of work on herself because she spoke with such confidence in herself. But she, you know, goes for a swim every day. She meets her friends. She runs her business. She's there for her kids and her family. You know, I'm in dangerous territory of saying you can have it all, but there can be balance. You don't have to give up everything to be successful. It doesn't have to look a particular way.
Yeah, and I think your perception of success, what success means to you, is going to be different to every single person listening to this. And when you and I were chatting before, we said peace was the new success. And that's peace in your role as a mother. That's peace in your role as an employer. That's peace going down to the shop, getting a carton of milk. Like, it's your version of what peace is. And then that will equal success. And it's that feeling that we talked about this time last year of putting your head down on the pillow at the end of the night and being content. Whether you were, you know, running a billion-dollar industry or you just got through the day, you know, and I always say trying is winning. So having that picture of what success looks and feels like for you and making sure that it's your picture, that it's not something else. You know, that Instagram is brilliant and all these social media channels, but the noise is louder than it has ever been. It's more important now than ever that we sit with ourselves and we get really clear on what's important to us. I see people more disconnected and more anxious than I've seen them in 8 years of doing this work. So, you know, the volume of the world needs to go down and that lens and that light and that time and that space needs to be pointed inward.
We really all need that reminder, myself included. And finally then, the gold in the internal feedback.
Do you know what I was thinking of actually? I was on the train at the crack of dawn this morning and I was coming up and I was looking at Christmas films. So we were making a list in the house of Christmas films because otherwise there's war over what we'll watch. And The Wizard of Oz was one of the films on the list. And I was thinking, sure, that's the messy middle. Dorothy was so focused on getting home, getting to Oz, chatting to the wizard, getting what she needed. If she hadn't slowed down enough to experience the messy middle, she would never have met the scarecrow. She would never have met the tin man and she would never have met the lion. And that's courage. That's perspective and wisdom. And that's heart. And that's what we gather along the way. when we think about integration and we think about the messy middle, we have to slow down for long enough to listen to ourselves for the golden nuggets that are going to be dropped along the way. I don't know about you, but I know in some of the messiest middles of my life, I have met some of my best friends. I've met some of the coolest people at times in my life where I probably was the lowest. I've learned things about myself in the messy middles that I would never have known had I not gone through them. The gold that we can pick up along the way if we slow down and give ourselves the chance to pick it up is priceless.
And as well as the people we meet along the way, that's sitting with ourselves to know what is the next step.
Yeah.
As you say, it's more important than ever before that we do that, no matter how difficult it is. Mm-hmm. But even once a day, checking in, how am I feeling? What do I need? How am I going to get there?
So important. And you have to remember, there'll be people listening to me chatting now that will be in the middle of messy middles, and some of them span years. And the version of you that will start something and the version of you that will finish it might be two completely different humans. So you have to meet yourself exactly where you are, wherever your season is in that messy middle. If your values shift throughout it, I know, you know, when I was training and when I launched the business, like my mom got really sick and passed away in the middle of all of that. My value systems were shifting all the time. My perspectives on the world, what I held as important, was changing. So we have to meet ourselves where we're at all the way throughout the journey. Which it's one of the reasons I built the Life Compass. When I was in the messy middle, I built the Life Compass because I needed something to keep me between the ditches and to be checking in with myself every day to see how it was all working out.
You said the people you work with surprise you all of the time. What's at the centre of all of that? Is so much of it tied up in our belief in ourselves and what we're capable of?
So much of it is patterns. Yeah. They will sit in front of me and they won't realise how blinkered they are to what their potential is, to what's available to them in the world, to how many supports are out there, to how many opportunities are out there, to the amount of places that they could reach out or ask for help. Sometimes it's that. And then sometimes, you know, even though it sounds mad, it's for someone to sit across from you and not know you. And for me to say, that's a brilliant idea. Yeah, I believe you could do that. And then they go, oh my God, she doesn't even know me and she believes. And I have seen people completely transform aspects of their lives because I cheerlead and because I support and because I sit there and I say, listen, I know you can do it. I know you can do it. Yeah, that's brilliant. I can't wait to buy your book. I can't wait to stand at the back and watch you cut the ribbon on that business. I can't wait to hear about you climbing that mountain. Send me a picture of that baby when you have it. You know, for someone to just go, yeah, I believe you can do that. It's an enormous gift to give a human.
Yeah. Mm. And we should give it to ourselves.
Yeah.
Shouldn't we? Yeah, I mean, I think it's great to have somebody in your corner like you, which is why you've got a, you know, a wait list. But we should be giving it to ourselves, and it is possible.
It is. Yeah. And the more we do, the more we do that, the more we nourish and nurture ourselves and our own internal sense of self-efficacy. You know, it's like that little Thomas the Tank Engine. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. We build our self-belief and then we build that internal self-concept. That's a huge project that I now see people, a lot of people beginning to work on. It's kind of like, you know, they upgrade or they rebrand themselves as a human. And it's the internal wiring is where they start. They start talking to themselves more positively every day, going, yeah, I can do that. Why can't I do it? And then remember, the brain will look for the evidence to back it up.
Mm, I often use the analogy of gaming. So you go up to the levels.
Oh, I love that.
Because you get to a point where you've seen everything on this level.
Yeah.
And okay, yeah, it's a bit difficult and you might be like the Lara Croft, but then you eventually you level up and you get all the onto the next level and you're ready for the next level.
And
that's just the way it goes.
The big villain at the end is ourselves. That we are the big villain. We're the one that goes, you're not going to be able to do that. Like, we are what stands in our way. And it's parts of us. It's belief systems and thought patterns and expectations and value systems. So often we are the villain that we're trying to beat.
Well, thank God we've got people like you in our corner. Tara Rafter, as ever, full of gems, the navigation coach. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk.